Well, good morning. Great to be with you, whether you're here in person or elsewhere online. And we're going to be thinking a bit more about that passage that we just had read to us from John chapter 5. But I want to start with a question. The question is this: what's the difference between a dentist and a friend? It sounds like it's building to be a great joke. I'm afraid I don't have a punchline to that question, although I'm sure someone could come up with one about teeth or something like that. But there is a difference in the relationship you have between your dentist and a friend, isn't there? When you go to see the dentist, there's not much chance for chatting because you've got a mouth full of various tools and mirrors and all sorts of other things going on in there. It's pretty hard to build up a relationship with your dentist. You're just there to get your teeth checked up, sorted out, whatever it might be. Get that sorted out and off you go, happy again. Whereas a friend, well, talking is important there, isn't it? That's one of the reasons why we find things difficult at the moment, because it's that much harder to see friends and talk with them, to keep in touch. A friend is there for you. They message and call you. They can go out for a walk with you at the moment. You value them as a person. There's a relationship there. You talk to each other. Well, I wonder, do you think Jesus is more like a dentist or a friend? Jesus, well, there's many benefits having Jesus in our lives, but is it actually a relationship? Is he someone that we like to spend time with? Because one of the things that we've been seeing from John's gospel is just how special it is to know Jesus, to have a relationship with him. We've been looking at various signs this term. You may have spotted that in the different stories that we've looked at over the last few weeks. So John chapter 20, verse 31, where John shows us why he wants to tell us all about Jesus. And he says there, all these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Life is all about knowing God, about being friends with Jesus. And so all these signs, all these miracles that we're looking at, help us to get to know Jesus better. So if you're already a follower of Jesus, already a Christian, then looking at these miracles helps to grow our faith. It helps us to know Jesus better as the Messiah, as the Son of God, to appreciate him more. And if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, then these signs, these miracles, point us to who Jesus really is. Not just a great teacher or a prophet or a fine man, but the Son of God, God in human form, come to live with us. And our title today is thinking about the question why people don't want Jesus. And as we look at this true story from the Bible, we're going to see that various people here missed the point. Or as Laura was saying earlier, they had a very odd reaction to what was going on. So we're going to look at some of those slightly odd reactions now. The healed man first, and then the religious leaders as well. Because both of them missed the point twice. Can you believe it? There's so much missing the point, so many wrong reactions. So first of all, there's the healed man. Let me just remind us of the story. It's happening in the colonnades in Jerusalem. And there's a pool, and around the pool are lying lots of very ill people. And there's a man who'd been there for 38 years. That's a long time to be unwell, to be essentially sort of locked down, unable to move or to go anywhere or do anything that you want to do. And gathered around this pool, lots of them believed that if they could get into the water at the point at which it was all getting stirred up, then that might make them better again. And this man has been sat here feeling ill, unable to move himself for 38 years. And Jesus comes up to him and asks him a question. It's down there in verse 6. Jesus asks, "Do you want to get well?" Now, I wonder what sort of answer we might expect for that. Yes, I'd love to get well. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yes, please, can you help me? But that's not what the man says, is it? He says, "Sir, I've no one to help me." He's so sort of fixated on the pool, fixated on his problems, on perhaps a sort of superstition around the pool, rather than the person who's in front of him, talking to him. He's missing the point. Or again, a bit later, Jesus shows up to introduce himself Jesus shows up and says, "See, you're well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen." In other words, Jesus is saying, "Hey, it's me. Now come and follow me. Enjoy a life with me." And what might you expect the man to say at that point? "Wonderful," we might think he'd say. "Thank you so much. I'd love to leave my old life behind and start a new life with you, Jesus." Except that's totally not what he says, is it? He ignores the invitation from Jesus. He ignores the warning from Jesus, and he heads off to get Jesus into trouble by telling the Jewish leaders. Now, why does Jesus say, "Stop sinning"? That seems like a slightly funny thing. Well, the previous mention of sin in John's gospel was when Jesus was just being introduced by John the Baptist. And John says, "See, look, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is the one who takes away sin, supremely through his death on the cross. And so Jesus is pointing the man towards, well, himself really. Jesus wants the man to come to him, to have his sin taken away, to have his life changed. Now, he's not saying that the man's disability was a result of sin. Jesus comes back and addresses that question more directly with a blind man that he heals later on in chapter 9. But it's the same warning for everyone, really, for all who are tempted or in danger of ignoring Jesus. He gives this warning that there's something worse to come if we keep on ignoring him, if we keep on in our lives rejecting him in sin. And so that command to stop sinning is an invitation to come to Jesus, to see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and to have our lives changed. And so the man who was healed, he was missing the point, wasn't he? He was missing the point by missing out on Jesus, Jesus' invitation to get to know him, to have his life changed. Well, the healed man was missing the point, taking all the benefits of Jesus, getting healed, without taking him. And I wonder if we can be tempted to do that sometimes, taking the benefits of Jesus, perhaps the privilege of being part of a church family, perhaps the sort of hope of eternal life, but ignoring him and his call to change, to follow him. Well, there's quite a warning here, isn't there? Yes, take Jesus' benefits, but take Jesus himself. Take that relationship, that friendship, that blessing of his love in our hearts by his Holy Spirit. So that's the healed man and how he missed the point. We're going to have a think now about the religious leaders and how they missed the point. Now, there's this sort of growing conflict around Jesus in John's gospel. It's been building and brewing. And in verse 15, the religious leaders find out what happened to him. So the man went away and told the Jewish leaders. And so what do we think the Jewish leaders might do at that point? We think they might go, "Wow, you're so powerful. You're so kind, Jesus. You're so generous." Except that's totally not what they do. They're missing the point again. They begin to persecute Jesus because he told the man to carry his mat on the Sabbath. I wonder if we could just click on to the next slide. There we go. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. Oh dear. There's no biblical law against carrying your mat on a Sabbath. This is one of the laws that they sort of added on to what God said. It was a sort of man-made extra rule. The Bible says keep the Sabbath, observe the Sabbath. Yeah, keep that day special. Rest from work. Worship God then. But it doesn't say anything about mats. That was an extra rule that they'd made up. And so they're missing the point about Jesus. They're so wrapped up in all their ideas, all their rules, that they've missed the point of who he is. And they begin to persecute him. But it gets worse. Jesus tries to explain why he's doing what he's doing. If we could click onto the next slide again. Oh no, I must have forgotten to put these verses up. My mistake. Head back and let me read them from the Bible. Sorry about that. So Jesus says to the religious leaders in verse 17, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." In other words, Jesus says, "I'm equal with God, so don't get all het up about your little Sabbath rules. And we might wonder, how are the religious leaders going to cope with Jesus saying this to them? Are they going to bow down and worship? Wow, we're so glad you're here to help us get to know God better. Except that's not what they do, is it? They reject Jesus' claims that he's equal with God. They reject the suggestion that he might be more than just a man or a teacher, that he's God himself, that he can say what happens on the Sabbath, that he is the reason for the Sabbath. No, they reject it all. They miss the point of what is going on. For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. They're like sort of wolves circling around their prey. That's one of the ways that the Bible describes false teachers, as wolves who take people away from the truth. And so the religious leaders have missed the point by refusing to believe what Jesus says. They recognize that Jesus is special. Sorry, they don't recognize that Jesus is special. They just reject him. They don't believe him. They don't want him to turn all their ideas upside down. And there's a warning there for us as well, isn't there? When we're tempted to push Jesus away because he's starting to turn our lives upside down, well, we're confronted with his authority and we find that uncomfortable. The encouragement here is for us not to miss the point, but to take Jesus, to get God's perspective on things. Get God's perspective on the Sabbath, for instance. We can rest, we can enjoy time off because he never rests. He never takes time off. He's always at work, looking after things, keeping the world going. Jesus, our Lord, our King, our Savior, our friend, he's the one that's looking out for us all the time, which means we can relax at times. We can enjoy that sort of that Sabbath break from the weekly grind. But Jesus is the one with authority and power and care and concern. So will we take him and will we let him turn our lives upside down? Two people or some groups of people that miss the point, if we could just click on, just to remind you of where we're up to. That there's the healed man. He missed the point by refusing to change. And then there's the religious leaders as well. They missed the point by refusing to believe. Well, so what? What difference does this make to us? Well, the first thing I want to say is don't be surprised when people miss the point about Jesus. If we just click on once, that's great. We might have people say to us, "So you're saying that Jesus wants to stop all my fun, are you?" Or, "So you're saying that Jesus is really judgmental?" Or perhaps even more extreme reactions against Jesus. People who block us or push us away, or in some parts of the world, get violent. We shouldn't be surprised when people miss the point about Jesus and turn on Jesus and his followers. It's going to happen. It's going to happen in the media, online, perhaps even among our friends at school or in the workplace when we're back there, or in our families. We're going to be misrepresented, caricatured, mocked because Jesus was misrepresented and caricatured and mocked. So don't be surprised. Don't be dismayed. Don't be disheartened. It's been happening since the beginning. Even Jesus, who is perfect, experienced it. So don't be surprised when people miss the point. And then the second so what that I want to draw out of this is that knowing Jesus is much better than all the other benefits. Jesus wants to be not so much our dentist as our friend. In fact, in John's Gospel is one of the places where in the Bible Jesus says that he wants to call his people his friends. Jesus isn't just a sort of ticket to heaven who gives us a fresh start and forgives our sins. He wants to be involved in our lives with everything about us. He wants to be our Savior, our King, and our friend. And through him, we become connected with the God of the universe, his Father, who wants to call us his friends. So don't miss the point about this passage, about how amazing Jesus is, that he can heal someone who's been ill for 38 years just like that. That he can cope with the knocks and the pressures and the opposition that come his way. And he can do so graciously and kindly because he's so full of love. Don't miss the point that Jesus is the eternal Son of God who never has a day off so that we can have a day off, who never gives up working and looking after us and watching over us, who wants to be in our lives, who wants to shape them to be full of his love, to be heading towards that eternal life that he gives us, where we will be perfectly close to him forever, perfectly friends with him forever. This is the Jesus that this passage gives us. So let's not be those who miss the point today. Let's come to him. Let's rejoice in him. Let's worship him. Let me finish with a prayer. Why people don't want Jesus? Father, there are so many reasons around our world why people don't want Jesus. Why so many people miss the point about Jesus. Perhaps they find him uncomfortable. Perhaps they find him confusing. Whatever it may be, Lord, please help us not to miss the point of your glorious Son, Jesus. That he wants to be in our lives as our friend, to call us his friends, his followers, his people. Thank you so much for his great power that we see here today, for his concern. And we pray that you would help us not to be dismayed when other people miss the point, and when perhaps we're on the receiving end of unwelcome behavior. Please help us to trust ourselves to our Savior, who's gone before us, and who's with us every step of the way, and will bring us to that wonderful eternal life with you forever. Amen.